welcome to episode 1 of Holy Spirit Empowered. Now we're going to speak over the next number of weeks about the person of the Holy Spirit who comes to empower you and I. Now, like the identikit that you were about to give for me, sometimes I think, you might have been around the church for a while, you might have read your Bible a bit, sometimes I think we have an understanding in our minds that we get the topic. We know what we're talking about. But if you had to explain it to someone else, you might quickly run out of earth. I wonder, I'll ask you, explain the Holy Spirit to me. Give me an identikit. Well, we can't talk about height and, you know, that kind of thing. We can't talk about hair color. What would we say? Remember in the Bible, some of the churches got born again, churches established, and then the apostles had to go there and explain about the Holy Spirit. I wonder what they said. I wonder if you and your friend at work, your friend that may be an unbeliever, far from God, and he heard this word, Holy Spirit, and he's saying to you, what even is the Holy Spirit? And is it a spirit? You know, talk to me about this. I wonder what we would say. So my point this morning is to speak about the nature, the names, and the symbols of the Holy Spirit, to give ourselves an identikit from the Scriptures as to who He is, so that going forward we can embrace Him and be empowered by Him to live a life that serves God more and more. You with me? Alright, so if you have a look in Acts chapter 1 with me, it says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day He was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles He had chosen. After His suffering, He presented Himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If we skip ahead a little bit to verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then if we skip to Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it's kind of the follow-on of this whole process. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. Verse 41 finishes the passage like this. It says, those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I wonder if you read that word Pentecost. Penta what, you might say? Pentecost. It's an interesting word. It comes from the Greek word meaning 50th. And so we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, roughly 50 days, 49, 7 weeks after Easter Sunday. So we've got Easter Sunday coming up, as Wes reminded us today. We celebrate Palm Sunday. Next weekend is Easter. And then 50 days, 7 Sundays later, is the amount of time between Easter and Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost? It was that moment where they waited for the first time in one room together and in obedience to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit descended on them. The Bible says it looked like they had tongues of fire above their heads. Now you might think, oh, it's another evidence that the Bible is not true, because that just sounds weird. Well, funny, in church history, it's been documented. Sometimes buildings have looked like they were alight in history. And it wasn't real fire, it was the Lord. People were convinced they saw it, but then there was no burning. In one day, 3,000 people get saved. The church goes from 120 to 3,000. Yeah. Can you imagine? We're worrying about 2 meters. 120 to 3,000. Yeah. When you were asked how much kids ministry we needed for 3,000. Not only were people saved, but the gifts of the Spirit were liberally given to people. The Holy Spirit descended on them, and they began, the Bible says, they all began to speak in different languages. When Peter stands up and preaches, the people are amazed because they all heard the whole 12 apostles speaking in their own language. And there are people gathered from all over the empire. Isn't that amazing? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes the church the church. From a historical perspective, the church did not start when Jesus was born. Church didn't start at Christmas time. The church didn't start at his death, at Easter time. Didn't even start at his ascension. The church started at Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit was given to the believers for the first time. John Stott says this. Let's see, well done. As the body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. I wonder if I had to ask you to rank out of 10 the importance of Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. The Presbyterian pastor said to me, personally, as religious observances go, Easter rates a 10, Pentecost a 7, and Christmas a 6. But to the average member of a church, would probably say Easter rates a 10, Christmas an 8, and Pentecost somewhere down at 3. Now, they're not overly fussed about the observance of the day, but in terms of the importance for the life of Project Planet Earth, Holy Spirit indwelling his believers and filling his church is the day that this whole project got going. Holy Spirit comes both to indwell and to empower. Now, depending on your nature, some of us prefer the indwelling. Oh, to get a touch from the Lord is so real. You know that song? Been around the church for a long time if you have. Hey, just sing that's my favorite song and I get goosebumps. It's just so wonderful. And then like the disciples, we say, let's just build some tents here. Just stay in the presence of the Lord. Please don't send us out into the world where we might come into contact with sinners. We'll just stay in the presence of the Lord. For others of us, we prefer the empowering of the Spirit. Yes? Remember Samson, he took a donkey's jawbone and the Spirit came on him and he slew a whole army. We love to be empowered. God, I've got such a busy week. I need your power to get through this week. Yeah? Never said amen. But the empowering without the indwelling renders us at service and work without the intimacy of God. Indwelling without empowering renders us selfish, needy, and weak Christians. I love the move of the Holy Spirit. If it freaks you out, stick with me. Sometimes, when people get prayed for, all of a sudden they break out in sweat and they get incredibly hot. Sometimes they feel stuff going on like in their stomach. I don't know. Others, you know, they suddenly start to shiver and shake. Others start to laugh. Sometimes people fall over under the power of the Holy Spirit. It happens. Time Daniel always says, it's less important how you fall down under the power of the Spirit than how you stand up again under the power of the Spirit. Make sense? Otherwise, we're just selfish. Oh, Jesus, come and minister to my needs. No, Jesus, minister to me so that you can empower me to minister to other people's needs. The Holy Spirit is the third person of what we call the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's mentioned throughout the scriptures. From the Bible's second verse in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit, capital S, of God was hovering over the waters. Second verse of the Bible mentions the Holy Spirit. The fifth, last verse of the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit. Revelation 17, the Spirit, capital S, and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. Holy Spirit is mentioned in 22 of the 39 Old Testament books. It's mentioned in 24 of the 27 New Testament books. There are 88 references in the Old Testament and 261 references to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. You get how important He is. The Holy Spirit has a vital role in conversion in the church today. In conversion, in the Christian's life, and in the ministry of believers to each other and to the world. Over the years, we've seen the truth and the role and the work of the Holy Spirit restored to the church. Daddy Daniel used to preach out of the scriptures around God restoring to the church that which was stolen, that which was lost, and that which is most needed. And think about church history. We had some very dark days in church history, if we're honest. Sometimes men got in the way of God. Even in our own generations, not just in the early church. And sometimes the Holy Spirit was squeezed out. And people thought that we could do Christianity without Him, or we knew about Him, but that was as far as it went. Some of us are more familiar with the Holy Ghost than the Holy Spirit. And then you have a generation growing up thinking, well, Casper, the friendly ghost? Like, who is this ghost? Do we even believe in ghosts? So it's so important that we understand His nature, His names, and His symbols, so we can be intimate with Him. So who is this Holy Spirit who empowers? John Stott said, "For the Holy Spirit is a sensitive spirit. He hates sin, discord, and falsehood, and He shrinks away from them. Therefore, if we wish to avoid hurting Him, we should shrink from them too." Isn't that beautiful? We know when we are like Him, then He will be present with us. Can I just say that the Holy Spirit isn't a weak spirit? He doesn't shrink back. But He is a gentle spirit. Yes? And so we can easily carry on without Him kind of obliviously. You know, Jesus Himself needed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So if Jesus did, how about you and me? In Luke chapter 4 verse 1, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and He went into the desert where the devil tempted Him for 40 days. I don't think that was fun. I start getting grumpy over 4 hours of fasting. Never mind 40 days of fasting. He says, full of the Holy Spirit, He went to be tempted. And then the end of the passage, Luke 4, 14, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee after the devil had tempted Him 3 times and not succeeded. He returns to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit, He went to meet and pray in the desert. And then in the power of the Holy Spirit, He returns. We read it in Acts chapter 1. That Jesus said to the disciples, wait in Jerusalem. He said, you will receive the gift that is promised. This language is important for you and me. He said, promised by my Father. All they had to do was wait. And He said, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So who is this Holy Spirit? Well, is the Father's gift. You know the best thing about a gift is we don't qualify for a gift. It's just a gift. But way more to do with the giver than the receiver. Not only is it is the Holy Spirit a gift, but He's the gift of the Father as promised. God can't break His promises, right? In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, you will receive power when my presence comes upon you, and you will be witnesses. Do you notice the confidence in the language? I want to encourage us with that this morning. Even Paul tells Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God that came from the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and a sound mind. You with me? Let's have a look now at the names, the nature, and some of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. you're welcome to these notes. I know it's holidays and the life groups aren't meeting, but you're welcome to these notes if you need to catch up with the scriptures and so on. I'm hoping to give you an identical, something of a refreshed understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. So like this identical, let's talk about the names of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes the names give us an understanding of His nature. So first of all, He's called the Spirit of Holiness. Luke chapter 11 tells us that He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. He's the Spirit of Holiness, which means if we want Him to be present with us, we too need to be seeking to be holy like He is holy. Secondly, He's the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us that those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Notice in the scriptures, it's always important, when you see Spirit, capital S, we're speaking about God. When you see God, capital G, speaking about the Lord. When you see small God, we're talking about other gods. When we talk about Spirit, small inner Spirit, we're talking about human Spirit. He's also the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to God. He's the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10. Who has insulted the Spirit of grace? He's the Spirit of glory. 1 Peter 4 tells us that the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Craig, why do we take time to look at all those? You would read these passages if you read the Bible, you know, over any period of time. You would read these. But sometimes it's helpful just to put all of the factors of the identity together so that we know who we are expecting. In John chapter 16, it tells us He's the Spirit of truth. I love this. He says, the Spirit of truth, when He comes, He will guide you into all truth. Isn't that beautiful? You're wrestling with what is truth. Maybe you've got a relationship that's just murky. Have you ever had that? Sometimes in the workplace, you just think, why am I bumping against my colleague all the time? I just can't. This kohosia. I don't know how else to say it better. Something's but that strap's okay. Sometimes it's just murky. You can't understand. Sometimes it feels like there's a hole in your boat and you just can't find it. You just feel like you're sinking and you don't know like what the cause is. Have you felt that before? Yeah? Man, I'm so grateful. He is the Spirit of truth who guides us into truth. Holy Spirit, this is murky where I am. Show me the truth. Bible says He's the Spirit of life in Romans chapter 8. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. He's the Spirit of sonship. I love this one. We've spoken about being adopted into His family over the last number of weeks. And the beautiful thing is that Romans tells us that you have received the Spirit, capital S, of sonship, and by Him, not by these words, by Him, we cry out, Abba Father. That's the, like Papa, like Daddy. Because of the Spirit, He is the Spirit of adoption. He's the Spirit of promise. He's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, I pray that He would give you the Spirit, capital S, of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. John Stott says this. He says, there is no technique to learn, no formula to recite. What is essential is such a penitent turning from what grieves the Holy Spirit and such a believing openness to Him that nothing hinders Him from filling us. If I can tell you my story a little, my granddad was a preacher, my mom was an organist. My mom and dad at different times served in leadership in the church, in formal leadership, traditional church. I grew up my whole life being dragged to church. I think I've told you, I can remember my uniform, the scratchy shirt that always rubbed my neck wrong, and those shoes that always hurt my heels. I was churched all the time. I got to grade 11. I was 16. And some preacher friend had gone to a charismatic Bible college. And he came, he'd been there, beginning of the year, September of my grade 11 year, this guy comes back for holidays. And we were sitting, me and two other people, one of them my friend, We're sitting on Margate beachfront. And this guy had come from a charismatic Bible school. He was like, man, I want to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember it to this day. He prayed. And he prayed. And my other mate began speaking in tongues. And it was amazing. I'm like, wow, what's this? And then the other girl, who I don't really know, she starts speaking in tongues. Man, this poor guy. 2 out of 3 is not bad, but it wasn't what he was hoping for. And he prayed. And he prayed. Man, he prayed. I've grown up in the church. I've grown up hearing the word, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, this guy says, he stops, he opens his eyes, he looks at me, he says, Craig, have you ever given your life to Jesus? Are you born again? In my earlier days, I can remember clearly 2 moments where I felt the touch of the Lord. I'd even said to Jesus, express something I wanted to come close to him. But I never asked him to be my Lord and my Savior. So in that moment, while we're beachfront, September of my great living year, this guy prays that I would receive the gift of salvation. Wow. Changed my life. November of that same year, we were involved with some youth ministry. I got straight into youth and we started doing some stuff. We're doing it out here, tell you the details. I was sitting in a dark corner, out of sight of everyone, praying on my own for the event that was happening. All of a sudden, something happened that I wasn't used to. I felt the Holy Spirit overshadowing me. And I began to speak in a language I've never learned. Man, it's the first time changed my life. That time has continued to change my life. I'd grown up in church knowing about this person. I'd spoken about, I knew about the Trinity, but man, I'd never met him. I never knew him like this. And John Stott says that we will just shine that which hinders him. He comes close to us. Let's look at his nature in the few minutes that I've got left. I want to remind us that the Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not a force field. He's not like a power that we can zap people with. We talk about he and him because he has personality. He's not a person like you and me. Just like God the Father and God the Son, he has a personality and he has personal traits. The Bible speaks about the fact that he has emotions. He has feelings. Ephesians 4 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't think the Holy Spirit wrings his hands and feels sorry for himself if we're nasty to him. I think he's okay by himself. He doesn't fall off his throne, you know. But I do know that we can grieve him. And normally you know when that's happened because you can feel him retreat to sit around. It's like he's walked to the other side of the room. Not in practice, not in theology, but it feels like he's a little far from you. Second thing is that he's able to lead and guide us. I've said already, Romans 8, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. He can actually help us along the way. This is beautiful. He fellowships with us. It's very hard to hang out with an inanimate object. Like a person, he fellowships with us. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. John 16 tells us that he convicts us. Have you ever felt that funny feeling in your stomach? You just suddenly, ooh, feels like I walked into a cold spot in the room. You're like, there's just something going wrong. Probably the Holy Spirit convicting us. Oh, don't go down that route, my friend. Craig, come back. Go that way. He's able to comfort and to counsel us. John 14. I will ask the Father and he will give you an advocate or a counselor to help you and be with you forever. He teaches us. Do you know he even prays through us? The Bible says in in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless prayer. Sometimes you might run out of words when you pray. You're just, Lord, I don't know what else to pray. That's when, if we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Father gives us words to pray. And we may not know what they are, but we know they're in line with His will. Quickly, in the scriptures we see He's treated as a person. In Acts chapter 5, He can be lied to. Remember Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't say, you lied to us about the money you were given. No, they said, you lied to the Spirit of God. He can be tested. Peter says to Sapphira, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? He can be resisted. Acts chapter 7, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised hearts and ears, you just like your fathers, you always resist the Holy Spirit. His names and His nature. Someone has said, because the Holy Spirit is a person, we are either filled by the Spirit or not. You can't have part of a person. I've got 2 minutes left. I'll talk about the symbols of the Holy Spirit. Julie, if you can give us that next slide. If you see this picture, what do you think? Ah, oh, finally. You too. You can see the next one? Yeah, you guys. Social media. This one? Now, if you see those pictures, you might think, oh, a relaxing moment to scroll through some silly videos. You might think, I can pick up with my Facebook friends. You might think, a cup of coffee, the room looks like this, that's where I hang out with my mates. The Bible similarly shows us some symbols of the Holy Spirit to help us remember who He is. We'll finish with these. First of all, the Bible speaks of Him as the wind of the Spirit. Now, the wind speaks of His sovereignty and His power. Very hard to say, there's the wind, or there's the wind. We normally see the effects of the wind. The trees are like this, oh, the wind's blowing that way. You can't say, there's the wind. You say, there the trees are. Can I say for you and me, for Grace Cove Church, I pray that people would be able to look at us and say, there's the wind. Because we're all leaning in that direction. The second one is the symbol of fire. Fire speaks about refining and even destroying. I'll baptize you with water and the Holy Spirit with fire. The third one is water. You see, I'm going quickly. You can get these notes. Water speaks about cleansing and sustaining. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, from his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. The fourth one is the picture of a dove. Remember Jesus baptized by John in the Jordan River. The Bible says the Holy Spirit rested on him in bodily form like a dove. What's interesting about a dove? A dove speaks about peace and gentleness. You can chase a dove away so quickly. This would be too loud. Why? Finally, we have the picture of oil. Right throughout the Bible, every time someone gets anointed, it's pointing towards the oil of the Holy Spirit. The oil of the Spirit speaks about anointing and healing. So friends, what must we do when we think of being empowered by the Spirit? According to Acts chapter 1, we must wait for Him. Because He is the gift that is promised for us to receive. And if you stand with me. Obviously, next week is Easter and so on and so on. But over the next number of weeks, we'll continue to talk about our precious Holy Spirit. And over time, I'm hoping that we will become so familiar with Him. Simply this morning, Lord, we thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank You, Lord, it's the lifeblood. You are the animating drive that fills the church to witness to the world. Holy Spirit, we humbly ask that You would make Yourself more known to us. especially over these next number of weeks. We thank you, Lord, we know our identity in Christ. Part of that, as sons and daughters of Jesus, is that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful gift. In Jesus' name.